Next step number 658, January 14, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
I would have to say being without a lifeline. Somehow disconnected, no lifeline. I think that's probably the biggest fear that we have. And somehow we are disconnected from everything else, and we're just standing out there without a lifeline. I mean, think about it. What's the worst nightmare that you've ever had? I remember a few years ago, a discussion on Reddit, and people were sharing their nightmares. It all came down to this one idea of being just left alone. You're falling, and there's nobody to pick you up. You're yelling, and there's nobody to hear. Your mouth is opening, you're screaming, and there's nobody to listen to you. Nobody wants to hear you. I mean, being disconnected, not having a lifeline. What was that famous show a few years ago? I think it's still on even. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? What do they call it? You have three lifelines. You have four lifelines. They're your connection. Once you don't have a lifeline, what happens to you? Well, you're just like hovering. You're not sure what's going to happen. I think this is one of our greatest fears. Major Tom. Remember him? David Bowie. Space Oddity. Ground control to Major Tom. He's exploring space and then just to be cut off. And in fact, I can't remember if it was during the Apollo or the Gemini time when they had spacewalking. It must have been during Apollo time. And there was a scenario where somebody, one of the astronauts, was doing a spacewalk. And all of a sudden, his latch got disconnected, or no, they were thinking, what happens if it gets disconnected? It's a 50-year-old story. But there's that fear, right? That all of a sudden, if you get disconnected and you're just out there in space, what happens to you? That's it. It's over. You just go off into oblivion. You just go off. That's it. And I think we have this fear. I think it's the worst fear, and it's becoming reality. It's manifesting itself in a very scary manner. We are going through this COVID-19 epidemic throughout the world, and it hit us pretty hard here in the United States. But I had, the last few weeks I've had, just as a priest, had to officiate at too many funerals, all because of COVID-19. And, the average age is over 90. So you can reconcile, if that's the word for it. You can sort of say, these people have led a good life. My aunt, just a few days ago, was taken to the hospital, not for COVID-19, was taken to the hospital, not for COVID-19, for other bodily failures in her system. And the hospital was so overcrowded that there was no room. And she was forced to have procedures in the hallways, be kept in the hallway until a room was available, and wasn't allowed visitors. Wasn't allowed even her own family to visit. And thank God we had a chaplain there from the Armenian church, and we were able to work out something. So at least I was able to visit just a day before she finally passed. She passed away at an age of 81. And just a very, very scary situation, because you realize that how quickly things develop. Taken away to the hospital, there's no room in the hospital, and then the next thing you know, you're asked to come and say goodbye, and that's over a remote access. Last week, you remember, I shared with you how moved I was when I had to do a blessing upon a family that was losing their father, and we were connected by an iPad and a computer on a FaceTime chat. Wow. And nowadays, it's become a reality. You give people last rites via FaceTime, via Skype, via a smartphone and yourself as a priest. In fact, it inspired me, because last Monday night with our Bible study group, we did home blessing, virtual home blessing, with 25 families all assembled with the bread, water, salt. We blessed their homes with a virtual blessing coming to you via a computer internet signal. Yeah, binary code coming to you with ones and zeros, right? That's how basic it is. Yeah, it's beautiful. But it still begs the question, what are we doing here without that human touch? And we're living out our worst nightmares. We have lost the lifelines in our lives. My aunt dies in a hospital alone. Nobody around her. It's bizarre. As I'm leaving the hospital, after I shared a prayer and said goodbye, I go down to the parking area and I see a line of ambulances down the street. They're all bringing patients, but they can't get in. There's no room in the hospital. My aunt passes away yesterday, January 13th, we cannot get an appointment to make funeral arrangements, get this now, until February 3rd. Not talking about doing a funeral on February 3rd. I'm talking about an appointment to sit down and make the arrangements. I mean, this is really... this is like one of those horror shows that you see where, last week we were talking about the desensitization, and, we used to watch, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, the zombie movies, and you get desensitized and you start seeing people, the living dead walking. And now this has become a reality where the dead are all around you. They're keeping people in refrigerated systems. The bodies cannot be interned. They cannot be cremated until arrangements are going to be made. And it's pretty, pretty wild. And I think we're living out our worst nightmares. Our worst nightmare being that we are alone. At the end of life, and even during life, we are left alone. There is a poem I remember, and I know many of you have probably read this here or there. Every so often it makes its rounds on the internet. It's called Footprints in the Sand. It's about one guy who's looking back on his life, and he looks back and he sees footprints on the sand. And for each of the events in his life, he sees two sets of footprints. Two sets of footprints walking through life. Except during the most, during the worst times of his life. During some of the most difficult times of his life, he sees only one set of footprints. And he turns to God and he says, you know, God, you told me you would be walking with me. You would always be with me. But I look back on my life and I see only one set of footprints during some of the most difficult times of my life. And it's there where God turns and says, my son, the places where you see one set of footprints, those are mine, carrying you. I carried you through those difficult times. Now that's a beautiful, beautiful poem. That's a beautiful sentiment. But if you're living through that, you know how difficult that is. That takes an extraordinary amount of faith to have. But people do have it. In fact, I venture to say that many of you listening right now have pushed it to that limit. I know I have, where you realize that there, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, and you are standing there, only by the grace of God, who has you in his hands, who's holding you. But that, I tell you, is one of the most difficult challenges in our lives, to be without a lifeline. And we're seeing that now in the world. The lifelines are being cut. And we are standing there even at the end of death. And I think this is our biggest anxiety. Last Sunday after church services, a dear lady came up to me, elderly lady. She says, please say a prayer for me. I cannot sleep at nights. And I said, do you have a lot on your mind? She says, I'm just anxious. I've got anxiety. I can't sleep. I keep thinking about what's going to happen. Now, again, just like the story of the footprints in the sand, I could refer her to scripture and say, do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry for itself. Seek your mind on God's kingdom, and everything else will follow, like the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. And Jesus makes this pronouncement, and we need to follow it. But what I'm saying is it's very, very difficult. In fact, it's in that category where it's one of the hardest challenges that we are faced with even today. Space Oddity, I talked to you a few moments ago. David Bowie wrote that. And I was just thinking at the same time, late 60s, there was a show which I was very hooked to at the time. It was called Lost in Space. And the premise was that here's a family, the Robinson family, a takeoff on the Swiss Family Robinson. You know, they were exploring Treasure Island. This one was going to explore outer space. And they are sent up. But because a stowaway comes on board, it throws the spacecraft off its course. Just the extra weight throws the spacecraft off course. And when they discover the stowaway, now they have a human being. It's not just a question of just some extra baggage that you could just jettison. You have a human being. You have a human life on board. Now you have to make a decision. What do you do? Well, obviously you're going to care for that human life, even though it did give you all this difficulty. But it's that tension there that you know that this is the problem. And you know that this is the reason that you're in a mess right now. But they hang on to him. And they're lost throughout space. I think a few years ago, I believe Netflix did a takeoff on it, did a new version of it, which I watched a few of the episodes. I thought it was really excellent, just never got enough time to sit down and binge or to watch, but hopefully one day I could do that. But it's the same idea. It's you're lost in space, and who's holding you up? And when you start thinking in those terms, then you start looking out in the cosmos, and you see our Earth spinning around. Who's holding it up? It's spinning around. It's following the laws, the regulations. And once you start looking at it in that respect, you start saying that, okay, there has to be laws and regulations that keep this Earth from just bouncing around in space. And there are. There are laws, regulations that govern the universe. It has to do with gravity. It has to do with atomic masses, keeping things in order. It has to do with spin, acceleration, all kinds of physical properties out there. And this is where we come now in our faith, when we're talking about just being out there. You've got to believe that there's more to it than just being, that you're just by chance being thrown out there. But no, there are rules and regulations that keep you hovering inside. And that's what we call God. That's what we call our faith. That's what we call our belief system that creates a religion that gives us that comfort, that grounding against the worst of the nightmares. I've used up my lifelines. I'm in a tin can. I'm floating out in space. I've been unattached from the rope that connects me to the spacecraft. I'm in a hospital. I'm all alone. I'm waiting to die, and there's no one around. Am I all alone? Well, this is what I mean. This is where your faith comes in. This is what our belief system is about. This is the faith of believing that Jesus Christ is with us, believing that when we walk on that sand, we see those footprints, and it is God carrying us. I want you to think about some of these ideas as we play the song of the day. We always take a little break right about now, give us a little time to digest. Think about some of the difficulties that you faced, some of the nightmares that really seem to be coming alive, becoming reality these days.
Thank you.
Of course, it's George Winston doing Waltz for the Lonely. That's off of his Plains album. Just thought it fit our theme for today and give you ways to think about how it does. Or maybe it's just obvious. I'll have a link on today's show notes.
Riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown.
We were talking about life without lifelines and some of the fears that we have that are coming true because of the situation we find ourselves in today, because of this pandemic, which has made a lot of people lose control. We're seeing a lot of mental health issues, people that are struggling with anxiety, with fears, and rightly so. This is not an easy one to get through. And fortunately, if you have a support system with a couple people next to you, even one person, but there are many, many people who don't have that extra support system. So where do you turn? Where do you turn if you don't have that extra support system? Well, one of the places is we turn to the crutches. And I'm using that term intentionally, because a lot of times we find that during these times of anxiety and these difficulties, it is very easy to turn towards a crutch, which can be debilitating. Alcohol, drugs are the most prevalent, but there's so many others where these become the crutches on which we lean, and then we find that there's nothing there. We find that we've been sold a bill of goods. They tell you that, have a drink and the drink will relax you. You'll forget about your cares, which is okay until you start losing control and you start relying on that drink. Same thing with drugs. People that say drugs are bad for you. Well, there's a lot of people that'll tell you, no, drugs are really good. They do change the reality so that you can cope with it. Okay, and where's that fine line that you say, okay, now I have a dependence on it, which is now in the bad category? And these are the most prominent ones that we always think about. But think about so many others. In fact, people use all kinds of crutches. People rely on different crutches, including people. They will go and they will lean on people. And sometimes those become beautiful relationships. More often than not, they become symbiotic relationships where you have one affecting the other in rather negative ways. So we have some really major problems going on right now because of this loss of lifelines, because we are falling, we are yelling. In fact, I visited a sick person the other day, and on the end of life, and he just was screaming, and it was very scary. Is that the word I want to use? There's so many other words I want to use, but it was scary because I thought exactly of the nightmare where you're yelling and there's nobody to hear you. There is nobody to hear you. And what do you do? What do you do inside of a place where you're left alone, where you have no family, no one's allowed to be next to you? Well, you start relying on the strength, right? You rely on what you do not see. You rely on God. And listen, I use that word intentionally, the crutch. There are people that use religion as a crutch as well. There are people that lean on it. And you may say, well, it's a better crutch than drugs. Yeah, it is. But At what point can we get people to stand on their own, to take that responsibility, understand that they need to stand alone? Well, that's a big one. That's a difficult one because it brings to play all kinds of emotional feelings. And you say, well, why should we? If I can know that my God is next to me during my difficult times, isn't that a beautiful thing? Yes. And what I'll tell you is yes, absolutely. There are many people and many of our, throughout our history, we have seen those kind of examples. People who completely, totally rely on God. And I would even take it one step further and I'd say, because of that kind of faith, we are here today. Because somebody had that kind of faith to not let the physical difficulties, the nightmares of the day overrun them. And instead they put their faith on God. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that's a difficult one. And we know that those poems about walking and seeing the sand are also idealistic in the sense that they steer us to something which for many people people find difficult to find. And I this comes out of my personal pastoral life, where I've met with people and I've talked to people who find it very difficult for things that maybe you and I, maybe we find easy to say, well, I have that belief in God. But what do you do when you don't have that, or it isn't well-grounded, or life has slapped you so many times that you can't believe that there is something that's going to support you? And this is where we have to come in as church, as people of faith. I've shared with you my idea of the Christian church's mission statement. It comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus Christ began his ministry. In other words, he said, this is my mission statement. And in fact, in the Armenian church, every priest that is ordained, at every priest's ordination, this passage is read, which makes me believe that church fathers, those who wrote the church traditions, and such as ordination, understood that this passage, yes, this is the mission statement. You're ordaining a priest, a worker for the church. They need a mission, and here it is. It's Jesus coming into Nazareth and reading in the synagogue. He opens up the book and he finds the passage in the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, these are things that become the mission for us as church. But here's the interesting part. That one little sentence right in the middle is a sentence that for some reason gets excluded from many of the translations. Remember I shared with you a few weeks ago, just as the Song of the Three is cut out from the Protestant Bible, this one passage is also cut out from many, many translations. If you want to check it out yourself, it's Luke chapter 4, verse 18, actually. Where he recites the prophet Isaiah. And there's this one sentence in there, or one little portion of a sentence. A clause, is it called? Yeah, okay. A small little statement that is made that is cut out for some reason in several of the Bible translations, including the Revised Standard, including the New Revised Standard, but it happens to be in the New King James Version. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, why does this one get singled out? Why is this not part of the newer translations? I don't know. I really don't know. There is, on the New King James Version, there's only one little footnote on it. It says that many translations omit this. Now, of course, it's in the Armenian. Sardapeg, the brokenhearted. It's in the Armenian. It's in the classical. But in some of the newer translations, it's missing. The brokenhearted. Who are those brokenhearted? Who are the brokenhearted? Aren't they the people that are falling without a lifeline, that are speaking and can't be heard? And when you talk about where is our mission, aren't these the people that we need to be reaching out to? If we are the true Christian church, then we have to be doing the mission that Jesus Christ was doing. And he reached out to the brokenhearted. It wasn't just giving somebody who couldn't walk the ability to walk. It wasn't just giving sight to the blind person. It wasn't just giving hearing to the deaf. It was healing the brokenheartedness of people. And when you look around in your life, you see that brokenheartedness is basically not having the lifeline. Not having that lifeline. Listen, this week has been very challenging for me. Not only did I lose my aunt, but I also had to officiate, and I still have two more to go tomorrow, on a funeral every day because of COVID, yes. Funeral. So I'm like death all around me. And it wears at you. Yes, it does. Now, on Christmas, December 25th, I got word that a very dear lady had passed away. Dear lady to me, somebody I knew from San Jose, and they had moved with the family with us to Los Angeles area in the 1990s. And the son called me and said, "Mom has died." And we made funeral arrangements. On Armenian Christmas, he calls me, January 6th. The son calls me and he says, "Now Dad has died." Husband and wife, both of them died. We're going to have a double funeral for them. And I was talking with the priest at the cathedral the other day, and we were just talking about how bad the pandemic has gotten. And when I recounted this story of this amazement that, you know, husband and wife, they've passed away, he said, "Well, sadly, that's not the worst of it." He says, "I've got a husband and a wife, and their daughter is now ready to pass because of COVID. So we're essentially waiting for her to pass so that there could be a three-person burial service." And you're just going, this is bizarre. This is exactly out of the horror movies, out of the nightmares, of your worst nightmares coming true. And where are the lifelines? And I'm here to tell you that there isn't any other place that you can look for those lifelines except in the body of Christ. And you can take this any way you want to. You can say that there are supernatural forces all around you, but that supernatural is only going to happen when we start accepting that we have to be part of that solution by becoming that body of Christ, by reaching out to people. And I'm standing in a cemetery today, and there was this beautiful tombstone. It was an old cemetery. It's called Mountain View. It's here in Pasadena. In fact, I asked the funeral director, I said, "Are there any properties left in this thing?" "There's only 15, he told me. That's how old it is. It's almost full. But it's so old that they have tombstones as opposed to just headstones, you know. They have those huge tombstones. And there's a beautiful cross. In fact, you know what? I'll make a note of it. We'll use it on today's cover. Okay, take a look at it. Anyway, it had the IHS in the middle of it. And there was a young lady there who was part of our In His Shoes group. And I said, "Sosie," I said, "do you know, I got to go and take a picture of that." And she said, like, she looked at me like, "You're going to take a picture of a tombstone?" And I said, "And I bet you know why." And she goes, "Oh, it says In His Shoes on it." That's right. IHS, right in the center of the stone. Now, I take that as an In His Shoes. Of course, that is an order, In His Service, IHS. But, hey, the initials work for us. So we take it, IHS, In His Shoes. And all it is, In His Shoes, is just another way of saying that you don't need to be alone. That when you're looking for a lifeline, there we are. there we are. You've got a friend. And that's how simple it is. Well, as many of you know, this time of year is a very special one in the life of In His Shoes and our ministry. It happens to be the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Civil rights leader, activist, but most importantly, one who is able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and apply it to revolution, apply it to change, apply it to the day, and talk about serious items of justice in our world. You know, there's these little cute little sayings that you see here and there, like on a bumper sticker, for instance, and it's interesting. You know, it says, "No justice, no peace." And that's spelled N-O. If there is no justice, there's not going to be peace. But it's also spelled no justice, K-N-O-W. If you know justice, you will then know peace. And, you know, these are more than just little sayings. They're opportunities for us to push ourselves and really contemplate how we can make these into truths, into axioms. They are axioms, I bet, but how to actualize them in our lives today. Now, when we come to a person like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we find that exceptional individual that comes by too infrequently in a lifetime, who is able to take us as a people and raise our consciousness. So we are talking about these issues. And so every year on this particular weekend, since 2004, we have been holding a Martin Luther King Jr. retreat. And some of those retreat venues have been really wild. They've been incredible. I think the last wild one that we have was at a place called Zaka Lake. And it was so wild that it was away from everybody. I mean, talk about a retreat center. Here's a place where, yes, I'm going to say it, there was no cell service. Oh, how did we do it? How did we make it through? But we did. But this time, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and we are having a virtual retreat. And this virtual retreat is going to be online. And today was the last day to sign up. So at this point, if you're hearing about this and you want to participate, make a note for next year, 2022, because we will do it. This is a very special person that we really owe so much to, as not only as Americans here, having witnessed the way he brought civil rights to forum, but as people, and especially as Christians, to be able to take the gospel message. If you do nothing else this weekend, if you're not part of the retreat, do me a favor, go out there and read the letter from Birmingham Jail. Read the letter from Birmingham Jail where Dr. King writes to the people. He'll talk about the church, what the church is, and what our responsibility is. So we're getting ready for this retreat this weekend, which is going to be virtual. And I'll look forward to sharing with you how it went next week. But do pray for us. And like I said, if you're not part of it, make a little bit of time this weekend to check out something or some way that you can connect with the late and great, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Well, here's the piano player telling us it is time for Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a moment.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all of our listeners for all your love and support. You know, I make a point of saying this the last several weeks that, you know, unfortunately, as Armenians, we have given too many martyrs throughout history, but we have especially given too many martyrs last year. And now we are in the middle of a pandemic. Please, please take care of yourself. The situation has gotten very serious and scary. And it's at a point where that fear is of the lifeline. Do you have that lifeline? We talked a little bit about it. I hope we gave you some kind of idea, some meditative ideas for you to think about and really, really understand how precious it is, the life that we have, the lifelines that we need to find. But more importantly, the idea that we are lifelines ourselves, the ability to reach out to others. Make some time this weekend, especially during the Martin Luther King weekend. I think it was during President Obama's time, or perhaps it was during Bush, that they said that that this weekend should be a service weekend, serving others. And I think with the pandemic happening, probably no greater service than to reach out to people who are looking for lifelines. And that's our responsibility. That's walking in the shoes of others. We're going to call it a day today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, check us out at all the usual spots and at the mothership in issues.org. Love to hear from you. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and, yes it is, an expanding universe. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.